Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Well, welcome to another episode of Sounds of Living Waters in Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel, also Come and See Ministries. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God. tonight, Monday night, we've been looking at this, the dead with audio, the death and resurrection series. How we want to look at it. It's something that the church do deal with, but not often enough. Because if we dealt with it often enough, then I think that all the myths and all those things that surround it wouldn't. That's that thing. If the church dealt with this more often than not, then we wouldn't be saying the things that we're saying about what happened when you die, about what happened to your loved ones when they die. And all these different things, you know, we got a whole lot of lies just running through the world because we have a problem with letting go, you know. And that's just it. We don't want to let go. We want to keep our departed ones, you know, with us, especially if they were matriarchs and stuff like that, patriarchs and matriarchs. You want to keep them within touch, that you will always use them and need them. But that's not the word of God. The word of God tells us that that once we leave, we can't help living anymore. It's unlawful for us to help the living anymore. So it's not probable or possible for the dead to come back and help. Not lawful. You see. So this is that thing. What we're going to do, we're going to look at what happens when somebody actually leaves this world. And, you know, we got these other things that's going on in the world. Well, when you die, you go to heaven and things like that. Or when you die, you're going to go to hell. Or, you know, this person is in hell right now. Or this person's in heaven right now, you know. First of all, you got to realize in order to, for those things to even take place, there had to have been a judgment. Without a judgment, those things don't exist. And we don't deal with hypotheticals when it comes to the Word of God. We deal with line upon line, precept upon precept. If we can't read it, we don't teach it. If we can't read it, we don't teach it. That's just the thing. All of us, we have we all have our own little spiel when it comes to the Word of God. But we can't have our own little spiel when it comes to the Word of God. We can only have His Word when it comes to the Word. And more often than not, we tend to get carried away with fables and things that won't let us let go. You know, that your loved ones, your departed loved ones are here some kind of way, physically, right? Or in something, you know, like an object or something. You know, more than a urine or a urn, you know, not urine, but a urn. Not just there, you know, but actually in a physical object like a watch or some clothes or favorite shoes or something. You know, people is really superstitious when it comes to these things. And we, you know, as a people, should be more conscious of what the Lord is dealing with us when it comes to this. You see. And the God of Israel is really thorough when it comes to his word, as far as what he talks about, what happens when someone do die, you know. So basically all of these things is based to build up our maturity, you know, because this is an event that a lot of us can't handle. Some of us don't take well. Some of us go into deep depression. Some of us have breakdowns. Some of us end up talking to beings that are not there or loved ones that are not there. You know, we have to be really, really careful in letting go. So this is the thing. The whole point of this premise or these precepts is to let go. You know, there isn't, you know, most people when you're in these type of arenas or surroundings, when you're dealing with the departed, people is looking for this quick fix or this, you know, what can I say to help this person, especially if it was, you know, a child or someone like that, you know, that who life was ahead of. What do you tell somebody? Nothing. There's nothing you could tell them that'll make them feel better other than you love them and that you can be there for them. That's it. The only thing that heals things like that is time. That's it, time. That's the only thing that can heal it. There's no magic words. There are no nothing. The only thing that's gonna get you through whatever you're going through is time. And thank God that He allow us time to get through those things. You see. So let's get started. First, we're gonna pray, and then we're gonna get prayed in, and then we're gonna get started with the precept. Once again, this is the dead. Where are they? Heaven or hell? Right. So let's get started. Brothers, if you stand, face the window, I'll cover our heads and please, if you can, cover your heads and face Jerusalem. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth those physical and spiritual gifts. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brother and their family. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, with the light of blessedness, because they see a light in time. Father, have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth the Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and ask to see and hear, to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and faith to perform. And Father, have mercy on them to hear us, to give them also a mind to perceive and ask to see and hear, to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and faith to perform. In Jesus' name we pray for your mercies and do forever. Amen. Amen. And I did say I wanted to start thanking the people that was listening, you know, around the world. We have people listening from different parts of the world, man. Finland to India to, of course, our brothers in Israel and our family in Canada and places like that. We love you all. Thank you for listening and continue to listen. So with that being said, once again, where are they? I will leave my glasses. Great. Anyway, so I'm going to squint past this. Okay. So we're going to start this here in Genesis. Chapter 2, where it was first spoken of, because we wasn't supposed to even see death. But it had to be a law that death would be a part of life. It had to be a law written. So let's go in and look at the word before it came to life. Okay, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. There go the law, right? You see, man, it wasn't no such thing as death. Man, never seen death, never experienced it, never seen a bone, none of those things. But he know here that this is what happened. You know, why? Because obviously God told him what death was. I know he told him what death was because he told him what a skeleton was. So when he told him what happened when you die, he didn't just say you will surely die. He told them the process, the everything that happened to a human being once they leave this planet in the breath in their body. He told them that before it took place. So Adam knew what he was bringing into the earth when he did it. This is that thing. So this what made it really, really, really something else. Now, here's the other thing. Let's go into Genesis chapter 3. Now, we're not listening, you know, getting into the snake and a conversation with the woman and all that. We all passed that. Now we're dealing with the crime of punishment. And the punishment is that death is known. So we got to deal with this part. We got to deal with this and bring that in. So now that death is in the picture, here come the punishment. Genesis 3 and 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree which I had commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. This is the conversation right here in verse 18. All that, get into that later this week. And in the sweat of thy face, thou shalt eat bread till thou return to the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, right? That's that conversation. Unto dust shall thou return. So he had to speak to the dust that he had to let, dust would have to let man go. He had to speak that into existence that we would have to come back from the dirt, even though we went back to the dirt. Once this thing took place in the world, that is, the people died. In fact, it's referred to as the worst thing that ever happened in the creation. Let's look at Solomon, man. He's the wisest dude, the wisest man to ever live. Look what he has to say about it. He said, this is an evil among all things that we can't even conceive because the end result of it is going to be death. No matter what, death is the end of it, whether it be good or evil. So no, it could be really good, your life could be good, and then death come into the picture. All of a sudden, your life stops. You know, it's an evil. It's a real bad evil that Adam brought into this planet. And, you know, not to harp on Adam and his insecurities or whatever that may be, but we don't want to constantly look at that and then miss all the other things that Adam actually brought into this world was good. So just remember this. This is an Adam-only conversation. Although whenever we think about Adam, this is the only thing we think about. So let's keep that in mind. Because you're really missing out on a lot of his speech. Ecclesiastes 9:1, for all these things, for all this I consider in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and the work are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, and to the unclean, to him that sacrifices, to him that sacrifices not. And as the good, so is the sinner. As that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath. Yeah, okay, good. All things come alike. Ecclesiastes 9:2. All things come alike to all. There's one event to the righteous and to the wicked. One event. This is the thing. To the good and to the clean, to the unclean and to him that sacrifices. To him that sacrifices not. As the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun. There is one event unto all. Also, the heart of the sons of man is full of evil, and madness is in the heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. So he said, this is an evil among all things that are done under the sun. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun. So when man dies, it brings all sorts of negative, you see. So everything centered around that moment is not a really good time. Even though this person may be beautiful, you know they're going to get into the kingdom, hands down, still, it's not a good time. You see, so this is an evil among all things that came into the earth, and that is that people die. Not death, that people actually die. Death is an entity. Dying is an action. Let's look at this a little further. He said, this is the evil among all things that are done under the sun. There's one event unto all, yea, also the hearts of the sons of men, full of evil and madness is in their heart. While they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. So the dead know that they're going to die. I mean, the living know that they're going to die, but they don't even know that they're dead. The dead just think that they probably just, you know, prayed for the Lord to give them just one more day, and they, you know, they took a chance on going to sleep because they knew they were dying. So they went to sleep. They don't even know they went to sleep for the last time, you know. Some of us, you know, just fight it, you know. don't want to let go. You know, some of us we leave this world tragically, you know, violently, you know. These are all parts of life, man. This is just all part of it, you know. And when we experience these things, you know, we have to understand that there is something that takes place. We have to get ready to let go of that individual, whoever it may be. We have to get ready to let that person go. I know that a lot of us want to keep their rooms in the same place or their clothes and all those things, but that's not helping. If that's what you want to do, then that's between you and God. But that individual is not coming back. That individual do not know that you're keeping them, or their house, or their place, or their room. Like one day they're gonna return and see everything that they had in the place that it was. It's not going to happen. Ecclesiastes 9:6. Also, their love and their hatred is now. And the envy is now perished. Neither have any more a portion forever than anything that is done under the sun. They can't come back into this realm. This realm is locked. They cannot enter into the realm of the living anymore. This realm lawfully is locked to the dead. The dead cannot come back to this. What do necromancers and witches and warlocks, where they have these people come up to? God knows. I don't know where that area is. It's no place that it's called. There's no name for it. All I know is the closest thing that I can get to it is the great white throne judgment. He said all heaven and earth fled away, and there was no more sea. So if heaven and earth ain't there, then where are you? So this is that thing. I mean, this is probably the closest you can get to that. To that realm that they in. Because they can't come back to this one. This realm is locked from them. Because of the law in verse 6. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done in this realm or dominion or in this place. They can't come back and talk to us. They can't touch us. They can't hunt us. They can't love us. They can't hate us. They can't kill us. They can't save us. You may have had premonitions and visions of someone that you know and love that may be gone, but they only use because of an authority figure for whatever purpose they're serving at that time, but that is not that individual per se. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hands findest to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where thou go. So it's around. It's nothing there. You're going to go to sleep one day, God willing. God willing, God bless it, that we allowed to go to sleep and wake up. But get this, he said, there's no work, no knowledge, no wisdom in the grave whether thou goest. People will have you to think that when you go to the grave that you're going to still be conscious. Well, just say this is God, right? Okay, now I'm going to create this grave for you to wander around in. Okay, now you die. And somebody come and take over your village and ponder it and just abuse everybody in your family. And you just died and you can't help. You know, really? That would be a wisdom. That would be a knowledge that you see that's going on. You would have to know that your village is under attack or your kingdom is under attack or your city is under attack or your neighborhood is under attack. families under attack. That would have to be a knowledge. That would have to be a wisdom. And he said, that is none in the grave. None of that. It's no knowing. Once you go to sleep, it's just like you go to sleep at night. You wake up, you hope to wake up, and you hope when you wake up, the days are better, and that you don't wake up the madness in the world, you know, especially in the world that we're in today. Oh, God. Let's look at this a little further, because we did say that there's no word nor knowledge in the grave where you go, right? And the other thing is, people will have you to think that your loved ones can come back. So if they're coming back, then they're going to visit. The first thing they're going to do is come back to their house. This is why, you know, widowers, they don't get married again because they think that their loved one is going to return and catch them fornicating with their new spouse. Well, that's not possible. Job 7:10, he shall no more return to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. In fact, let's look at this from verse 9 so we can know exactly what he's talking about. Job 7:9, as the cloud is consumed and vanished away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house. Neither shall his place know him anymore. So it won't be any more that coming back home, visiting my loved ones. And all. This realm here is off limit, according to the law, what we just read. It says it right here. He shall not come back to this realm. He cannot come back into this house. It's unlawful. He cannot come back to this house. But it's somewhere that they can appear. I just don't know where. I really don't. I don't know where it is. Wherever it is, it's not in this realm. It's not in this realm. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 18 and 9, because, see, there are certain individuals that can conjure those things up or bring those things up, you know, people, you know, but they can't bring them into this realm. They can only bring them to a place, but they can't bring them to here, into the place of the living where we are. They cannot come here. It is unlawful. They cannot break the law. It is no law that anybody can pass from the dead before the first resurrection. No law. From the dead to here after corruption, it is not possible. Anyway, it says this, Deuteronomy chapter 18 and 9, when I come into the land and thy God giveth thee, thou forgive me, blood. Deuteronomy 18 and 9, when I are coming into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of time, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard or necromancer. Okay. So just looking up this word quickly, necromancer. And let's see. Oh, I mean, I don't know where I'm going. Okay. Okay, necromancy, bewitchment, black art, black magic, charm, conjuring, divination, enchantment, evil eye, hocus pocus, incantation, jinx, magic, mumble jumble, mysticism, occultism, spells, voodoo, witchcraft, witcheries, witching, wizardry. So this is what that is. It's all these things is a part of. And also says one that can focus or talk to the dead. They don't believe you can do it. The world don't believe you can do it. But right here, it's a law that says you can. You can talk to the dead. Right here, according to this law. So, but it's unlawful for us to do it. But we can. He called it an abomination. How do we get access to this key or door? I don't know. How is it available to us? I don't know. All I know is that we can cross this ground. Now, we can tap in to the dead. They can receive us, our signal, but they can't come back here. They can't come here. They can't leave the world that they're in and come back to this one. They're dead. So they will be, they're in a place where the dead are. Wherever that is, that's where they are. Let's look at that. We're going to pick this up at 1 Samuel chapter 28. And Samuel is looking for a witch to help him talk to, not Samuel, God forbid, but Saul is looking for a witch to bring up Samuel. Excuse me. And so Saul disguised himself and went and talked to and found a witch that can actually do these things and conjure the dead. Like I said, we're not supposed to do it, but there's a law saying that we can. What do I mean? We can do it, we're just not legally lawful to do it. It's like a child. Yeah, he can drive, but without license, he cannot legally drive. Same conversation here. So Saul go and disguise himself to talk to this woman, and it says this. Saul disguised himself and put on another other raiment, and he went. And two men with him, they came to a woman by night and said, I pray thee, divine me a familiar spirit, bring him up. And who said his name? Who said I? Whom I shall name to thee? And a woman had, and a woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest that Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and wisdom out of the land before. Then layest thou a snare for my life and cause me to die. And Saul swear to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee. Ain't this something? The Lord showed us that he's shown us that this thing can be done. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up to thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. Now, immediately, you would have thought she said, Samuel the prophet. No, I'm not doing that, right? Obviously, it must have been a bunch of Samuels around at the time. Just like a whole lot of Joes and James and, you know, okay. And when a woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice and spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? Thou art Saul. See, she just thought it was just a Samuel, but now she saw him. She knew who Samuel was. She knew Saul was. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what Saul shall. The woman said unto Saul, I saw God standing by the earth, the righteous. So she's saying, I saw them wake up. Okay, she woke him up. And the Lord is allowing a wicked king to do this so that we can see it being done. Why he let a king do it so he can make sure that it's written in the earth that they do this. Kings do this. Kings do. Anyway, it goes on. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, he's covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, there it is. Samuel said to whom? Saul. So this is Samuel. This isn't a familiar spirit. This is the real deal. Wherever Samuel's at, talking to this woman, that's far as he can go. He can't come from there to here or come out of there and appear before Saul. He can't do it. He cannot do that because he is dead. His body has received corruption. There is nothing for him to appear. He is waiting on the resurrection. What this woman did was tamper with the light of man right here. And wherever they at, God is allowing this to be a transmission period, which is crazy because you got a lot of films like that in this world. You know, people watching films on TV and you get this static and they hear voices from out on another dimension and stuff like that. That's necromancy, man. But anyway, so we see here that this is actual Samuel talking to him. Now watch this. He said, why hast thou disquieted me? Why? Because he was sleeping. You know, he wasn't supposed to wake up to bring me up because he wasn't supposed to be brought up. He was waiting on the resurrection. And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and answered me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore have I called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what shall I do. Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from me and has become thy enemy, and the Lord has done to him as he has spake by me. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thy hand and given it to thy neighbor even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore the Lord has done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow thou and thy son shall be with me. So what he just told him officially, that he will no longer be in this realm of the living, but in the realm of the dead, wherever that is. Neither one of us, nobody here that's listening at the sound of my voice, never been there. Because if you were there, you can't come back. It's unlawful for you to come back. Not without a body. Let's put it like that. It's unlawful for you to come back without a body. So you got mystics and stuff like that. You got Catholic priests and stuff. They actually did research in the Word of God. So now they say, well, not only are people possessed with devils, but they're possessed by their loved ones that didn't leave the earth properly. So now they're in purgatory. So places like that exist because of things like this or lies like that. Can exist because people dabble in things like this. Don't make it so, because the Lord didn't give this place a name. He just said, you're going to be there with him tomorrow. So you leaving this spot, and you're going to be there. Now, remember now, when they killed Saul, they beheaded him, they chopped him up, so his body was not going to sustain his spirit. He was going to die. And a lighted man is going to leave him. They was going to mutilate his body and his son's body. And they did. And David and them went and stole his corpse and buried it with the kings. But they did. They mutilated his body. So here it is. So we see that there is a realm that the dead exist just not here. And it take a witch to do it because it's that unlawful to do it. You have to find somebody just that wicked that even try it, like a witch or a warlock or someone that deal with devils and stuff like that. They got to be 100 to pass that door. They already got to know that they ain't got a chance with God. This is something that's way up the food chain. You don't want to be messing with. You don't want to be dealing with mediums or witches or tarot readers and stuff like that to go and seek out loved ones. This is a crime way up the food chain you do not want to mess with. I know we small talk it. I know we belittle it. You know, I forgot that whatever that lady name was, Flo, whatever her name was, they used to do the reading of the cards and all that type of stuff, man. Leo, yeah. Look at here, people. You don't want to mess with this. You don't want to deal with this. This is madness. This is wickedness. He said this is an abomination. You will die for that. And he said tomorrow. He didn't even wait. He said for tomorrow you're going to be with me. And, of course, that wasn't the kind of news he was looking for. So, we just found out. So, where was Samuel, right? Right? Okay. Well, Samuel was a righteous king. So, now here's the question. How is it that Saul and Samuel is going to be at the same place? If Samuel is a righteous king, a righteous priest, right? A righteous prophet. Then how Samuel and Saul are both going to end up in the same place? You would think that Samuel was in heaven. Well, let's see. Let's see that Samuel go to heaven. Let's go to St. John chapter 3. And verse 1. And let's pick it up with Nicodemus, because we start talking about spirits. And man become a spirit. And the only way you can become a spirit that you shake this load, this flesh. Excuse me. That way you can actually lead from this realm into the other realm. You'll be able to interact between all the realms that God has because you're a spirit being. You know, flesh and blood can't interact with all the realms, but a spirit can. So he said, now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. See? The flesh can't operate where the spirit can. Watch this. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it list, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the spirit. So that's the only way you can go back and forth from the different dimensions. Now, what Samuel was definitely talking to, what Saul was definitely talking to was Samuel's spirit. How did he get it? I don't know. I don't mess around necromancy. I don't play with it. I ain't trying to talk to nobody dead. Just not, I don't need to know. It's just some things just not need to know. Isn't it just the way it is, you know? Some of the scripts you said, don't write this. Don't teach this. You know, there's some things just ain't there. People just ain't ready, mature enough to hear. That's all. But you are, but they aren't. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. So you a spirit being. And it says this, verse. So now Samuel's a spirit being. Is he in heaven? Well, St. John 3 and verse 13. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So Samuel didn't go to heaven. So it only makes sense that when he told Saul, you're going to be where I'm at, it definitely wasn't heaven. But where all the dead go, that's what he meant. So where are the dead? Obviously, this thing that they're talking about, purgatory, it don't exist, not in the scripts. Because there's no wandering around of the lost souls in the scriptures. There isn't no wandering of the lost souls in the scriptures for, therefore, purgatory to even exist. That's a made-up word that don't even exist inside of the Word of God. That's something from Gentile. That's not even Phoenician. But I guess it has to be, it exists. So anyway, the word exists. So it says, and no man has ascended up to heaven. How absolute is no man? That means nobody, not even Adam, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, David. No man has ascended up to heaven. But he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And we definitely know that that is Jesus Christ. No man has ascended up to heaven but Jesus Christ. And that's that thing. You know, we seem to think that we're going to be everywhere where he at, and that's just not true. He tell us flat out, where I'm going, you can't come. Where I'm at, you can't come. And that's all to it. Nothing personal. But like he said, as I said unto the Jews, now I say unto you. Amen. So, in fact, let's look at that. Let's go into St. John. And verse 13. St. John chapter 13, and let's pick it up at 31. And it says this, St. John 13 and 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, and you shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. Now I say unto you. Uh-oh. So I'm telling you that those that didn't believe, where I'm going, you can't come. Now I'm telling you that do believe, you can't come there. So obviously this was a conversation in the world that was already running. So he had to make sure that they understood that that's not the conversation from the Father, that we're supposed to go to heaven. He made that perfectly clear, right? He made a complete distinction. Now, if you missed this memo, you won't have missed it. Now, he told John, in two places, he said, no man has ascended up to heaven, no man, except that he that came out from heaven, that's Jesus. And then he said, little children, like I said to the unbelievers, now I'm saying to you, where I go, you cannot come. And that's heaven. So no man's in heaven. We got that, right? Right. Well, let's get one more script. Let's get one more script out of that. Let's go to 1 Timothy. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let's pick it up at verse 13. And it says this, I charge thee in the sight of God, who quicketh all things, before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keepest this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time he shall show who is blessed and only unto thee, King of kings and Lord of lords, who only have immortality. So if you're in heaven, you got immortality, or you've been judged to have immortality. Well, that's blown out the window because he's the only one that got it. If you're Enoch and you're walking around, this scripture is broken because he got immortality and died. Wait a minute. Enoch can die if someone kills him. That don't make any sense. Because as long as nobody kills him, he got immortality. This scripture is still broke. Okay, anyway. But we know the scripture ain't broken. We know that Jesus is the only one that had immortality, right? Because Samuel testified to that. He said, you're going to be where I'm at, right? There it is. So anyway, 6 and 16, who only have immortality, dwelling in a light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be the honor and glory, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. So, no man can approach it. No man have seen it ever. We can't get there. We can't see it. Heaven is not for us. We can't go. So there's no man in heaven. Who only have immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach it onto, no man have seen, nor can see. It's the point. No man is in heaven. So if your preacher is teaching you that you go to heaven, then you are among a preacher that either is uninformed or a liar. Either or, that preacher that's teaching you them things, that's uninformed or lying, make you a children of a lesser God. Because you know better. And if you continue down that road, you are definitely a child of a lesser God. So, we see that no man goes to heaven. And if any man is teaching that, we also know that he's lying against the Holy Ghost. So, do men go to the lake of fire, right? So we read that. We read that. You know, when you die, you go into hell and things like that, you know, which is, we got to look at it. We got to look at it. You know, we act like these things are just not going to happen, but they are. They are going to happen. So, let's pick it up at Mark chapter 9 and 43. Mark 9 and 43. And it says this. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. For it is better for thee to enter to life maimed than having two hands and going to hell into a fire that should never be quenched. There it is. So we see that this is a future tense. And he said again, if thy foot offend thee, because he's talking to you now, then it's better that you deal with that now before you end up in the lake of fire, which is coming. He said, if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life having two feet. It is better for to enter and to halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that is shall never be quenched, where the worms die and the fire is not quenched. So we're talking about hands that's performing wickedness, feet that's swift to run into wickedness. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out, for it is better to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to cast a lick. If our eyes is offending us, we're looking at things that we shouldn't. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For everyone shall be slaughtered with fire, everyone's sacrifice shall be slaughtered with salt. Salt is good. But if the salt has lost its saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves. Have peace with one another. So we just found out that there is going to definitely be a lake of fire. Is there someone in it? That's the question. That's the question. That's the question. Is someone in the lake of fire now? All right, well, let's go and look. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 30. Right? Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 33. It says, for Tophet is ordained of old. Yea, the king had prepared it. He had made it deep and large. And the power thereof, the fire is much wood, and the breath of the Lord is like a stream of brimstone to kindle it. So they're going to like a fire. He was firing it up. He said it's from old, even older than the angels, older than the earth. And he said he's gonna fire it up, but it didn't say it was anybody in it. Fired it up, right? When is he going to fire it up? That's the next question. When? Because if he firing it up, then it can't be nobody in there. And when do he fire it up? Because if he fired it up, that means he's about to get ready to use it. That's the next question. So that's a fact, right? So we see here he just fired it up. That means he's about to use it. When is the question, because did he fire it up when Adam died? Because at this point, he had to fire it up when Adam died because he just said it's going to be righteous and wicked on the earth. So he had to fire it up then if that's the case. Because remember now, Adam died. So everybody that died in Adam is either in heaven or in hell. So if with Cain would be the first one in a lake of fire. He would have had to fire it up then when Cain sinned. When Cain died, he would have had to fire up the lake of fire. Here, Isaiah 30 and 33. Look at this a little further. So is Cain in the lake of fire? This is when he fired it up, when Cain died. When Cain sinned. When Adam sinned, did he fire it up? Well, let's see. Isaiah 30, 1 and verse 13. He shall pass over his stronghold for fear. His princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Lord, whose fire is in Zion and his furnace is in Jerusalem. Wait a minute. So what are the people afraid of? A furnace that's in Jerusalem? A fire? So people is going to be afraid of a furnace. Really? No. That's not what he's talking about. Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33 and verse 10. Now will I rise, saith the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. Ye shall conceive chaff. Ye shall bring forth stubble. Your breathless fire shall devour you. So, man, this is going to be this perpetual thirst there, right? The people shall be as burning of limes, thorns cut up shall they be in the fire. There were two fruits of ten. The people shall, one, thorns cut up shall, two, fruits of ten. Right? That lets me know. It's going to happen. The question is it happening now? Because he said they're going to go to the fire. people are going to the fire, according to verse 12. And people shall be as the burning of lions, and thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. People are going into the lake of fire. There's no question about that. Question is it now or later? Verse 13. Hear ye that are far off what I've done, and ye that are near, and not as my. Far off means the nations and strangers and heathens and so forth. And those that are near would be the 12 tribes. You know, don't be playing God short. Better acknowledge his might. The sinners of Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrite. Who among us shall dwell in heaven? With the devouring fire, who among us shall dwell with everlasting burning? So we see now that this isn't now. See that? Who among us shall dwell? Who among us shall dwell? And then he tell you, he give you a time window. He that walketh righteously, speak uprightly, and despise not gains of oppression, and shaketh their hands from holding bribes, and stop his ears from hearing blood, shut his eyes from saying evil, he shall dwell on high, his place of defense shall be, and the munitions of rock, bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure, thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty, that shall behold a land that is very far off. That was your time window. See that? When Isaiah saw this, the lake of fire and the judgment was a couple of thousand, 3,000, 4,000 years away. Right? Now it's less than 2,000 years away. Yeah. Yeah, the great white throne is technically less than 2,000 years old. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But we see here, he said it's far off. Very far off. So if the kingdom is far off, that means the judgment is far off. That means the lake of fire is still far off. Therefore, Isaiah, when he made this here prophecy, he was talking about something that was way down the line. So there's no one in the lake of fire right now. There's no devil. There's no beast. There's no false prophet. No one's in the lake of fire. Remember now, he said he fired it up. His breath kindled it, right? Okay. Let's go to Daniel's. And got one more after this. Daniel's chapter 7 and verse. And I beheld Daniel 7 and 9. And I beheld the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garments was white as snow. And the hair of his head were head like the pure wool, his throne like the flaming fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery flame issued and came forth from before him. Thousand men stood on him. 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. So that's when he kicked off the fire at the great white throne judgment. So why are they dead? Waiting to be judged. So they're not in heaven. They're waiting. They're waiting. They're waiting right now. They're waiting like, excuse me, like the Lord said. Like we're waiting on beholding a land that's far off. We're waiting on that. We're waiting now. It's nearer now than it was in the days of Isaiah. So he said, he gonna fire it up, as we read in Daniel's chapter 30, Isaiah chapter 30, he fired it up at the judgment. So the dead is in the ground wherever they are, where the Lord is keeping them. We know their bodies are in the ground, but wherever the Lord is keeping them right now, That's where they at. And they are asleep according to the law. And they can't come back into this realm. They can't come back into this realm. What's crazy is that the Lord allows Samuel to experience necromancy. He said, why you disquiet me? But he allows Samuel talk from the dead. Now, none of our prophets have that witness. Not one. He's the only one that got that witness. When he come back, he's going to tell us what it was like to talk from the dead to the living. He's the only one that been through it, the only one that's seen it, that we know of, Samuel. Why God allowed it? I guess the circumstances was perfect. You know, I guess he could have used any one of our kings. You know, we all our kings did something that was worthy of Saul business, but he allowed Saul to be put in Saul to seek out a necromancer, to dig up Samuel, to bring back Samuel, so Samuel could get woke up and talk from wherever he is. From the great beyond, let's call it that, from the great beyond. And Samuel woke up, and now he knows that that's true because Saul did it. He woke him up, right? But up until then, Saul said, he said, why you disquiet me? I was sleep. Leave me alone. Right? So, it's a price with that. You go there, chances are you're not coming back. Kind of like with another man's wife. You go there, chances are you're not coming back. You know, once you do it, you're dead. It's written against you. Right. Well, we got one more. Okay. All right, we got one more. Excuse me, Revelation 3:20-1. And it says this, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a chain, a great chain in his hand. And lay hold on the old dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, which Satan has bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into a bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nation no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he should be loosed for a little season. Now he just got thrown into a dimension. Ain't death. Ain't the lake of fire. Wherever it is, we can't go there and he can't come out for 1,000 years. And he called it something like a bottomless pit. That's what John called it. The God of Israel didn't call it a bottomless pit. John called it a bottomless pit because that's the only thing he could conceive it to be. Whatever it is, It's a dimension that neither one of us can pass through or pass from. Because he set a seal on that, that Satan can't get past this one, even though he has the authority, he has the law of the angels that he can pass through dimension. He can pass from that life to this life. We can't pass from this life to that life. You see. Anyway, let's continue. It says this, Revelation 23. And he cast upon him, and cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Forgive me. Oh, thank you. And I saw thrones, and they did set upon them, and judgment was given on them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God, which had not worshipped it, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again till 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So the rest of the dead lived not again. So they dead. The rest of the dead, from all the way back to Adam days until the first resurrection, are still dead. So they're not in the lake of fire, neither are they in heaven. You see, they're dead, according to verse 5. They're dead. They're not in heaven. They're not in the lake of fire. They're just dead or asleep. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death have no power, but they should be priests of God and of Christ as they reign with him 1,000 years. Verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet. And they should be tormented day and night forever and ever. Wait a minute. How the beast and the false prophet get that? 19. Revelation 19 and verse 20. And the beast was taken, and him the false prophet wrought miracles before him, which made deceive them which had received the mark, and them that worship his image. These both was cast alive in a lake of fire burning with brimstone. The remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon all water, and the sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls with their flesh. So that's where you get the beast and the false prophet. They're in the lake of fire at the appearance of God. So God threw them in the lake. That was that horn in Daniel's chapter 7 that we saw that spoke great things against God. He threw them in the lake. But then in Revelation 20, in verse 10, you see Satan get thrown in the lake with him. But it wasn't nobody else there. Everybody else was just asleep. It was just waiting on the judgment. You see. So there's no one in heaven. There's no one in the lake of fire. Excuse me. Everyone is just waiting to be judged. That's it. Last place, Revelation 20 and verse 10. And the devil deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God. The books were open. Another book was open, book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and in death and hell delivered the dead which in them. And they were judged every man to their works. Death and hell was cast to the lake of fire. This second death, and whosoever was not now written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So obviously, no one's in the lake of fire according to Revelation chapter 20. Which only stands to reason, just by reasoning, there would be nobody in heaven according to Revelation chapter 20 and 15. So we see this. This is that thing. So know there's no one in heaven. There's no one in the lake of fire. The scriptures don't testify that. If you have a preacher that's teaching you that and telling you those things are in the Bible and you just read with us and you still sitting up under that preacher knowing you know better and knowing he don't know better, make you a children or a child of a lesser God. that's not a good place to be. The sound of it itself is almost self-explanatory. We want to be a child of a lesser God. Well, that's what you do if you find yourself in front of a teacher that shouldn't be teaching. I should say that. Because he's coming up with a whole lot of things. He's coming up with fairy tales and folklores and old wives' tales and things like that, traditions, and bringing them into the truth. Be careful. So, with that being said, thank everybody for their time, and everyone that do, that did call in, please forgive me. I managed to get the hiccups. Yes. There isn't a lake of fire right now. Oh, it's coming. It's coming. Sooner than later. All you got to do is keep living. But it's coming. You can just assure that. We are not going to keep going on as business as usual as we think, you know, things are today. It's not going to happen. It's a judgment. And the judgment is for free will. You got free will. Thank God for free will. Thank God for the judgment. Thank God for his understanding. Excuse me. Just look out. So with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We edify someone. And as we say here at the Sound of the Living Waters, reach your Bibles. Reach your Bibles for yourself. And God willing, we live, he would open up our understanding to his truth, to his word. Like I said, don't let people play with your salvation. All right. Once again, thank everybody for listening, and tune in tomorrow as we go further into the resurrection. Amen. Amen. So, that being said, we're going to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And once again, as we say here at the Sound of the Living Water, when you come to see ministries, read your Bibles.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water.
Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio shows.